It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
Our guest today is Miro Cholakov. Cholakov. I know. I always get that screwed up. Miro, good to see you again, man. You are, as it says on the website, winemaker, proprietor, salesman, cellar rat. I like that.
That's right. I still am.
Yeah, I know.
To replace me.
Well, yeah, and the story is amazing because you were born and raised in northern Bulgaria.
Correct.
And they've been making wine in that area forever.
Forever, as far as we can tell. only the Georgians from the other Georgia, they claim to be the earliest so far discovered remnants of winemaking in their country.
And your grandfather made the family supply of wine.
Correct.
For a long time, and then you were like at his side during these processes.
Since I was six.
Wow.
I think.
Wow. When and how did you make it to Northern California?
That was back in 1990, the summer of 1990. It was actually June 20th when I landed in New York, and I came legally, and I remained legal the whole time. And so, yeah, since then, I've been involved with wine since actually July 20th of 1990, and I have not been not making wine since then.
And in 98...
1990.
Okay, but 98, you went to work as winemaker for Trenadue.
99.
One of my favorite wineries, yeah. Trenadue, man.
Thank you.
And you're still, you call your day job? You're still working there, right?
I worked for Dry Creek Vineyards for about 9 years, and then in 1999, I left them and I went to make wine for Trenadue, and still there. And in 2021 years ago, so basically 2001, I started making my own brand, my own wine.
Miro Winery.
Miro Cellars, yeah.
Yeah, Miro Cellars, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
And that's it. Since then, made a lot of wine, won a lot of things, and still having fun.
Well, it's great to see him again. Thanks for inviting him in, Dan. And let's talk a little bit, before we get into Miro Wines, talk about Trenadue and such, and then the history of Miro.
Leo and Trenadue had been making wine there for several, almost decades, I guess, before Miro got there. And it was an unknown area. Geyserville was not considered to be a heart of Sonoma County. It was part of it, but it was not the dominant area that it eventually became.
Correct.
And as time went by, some of the products that Trinity made were, I guess you might call them, family classics. And in a certain way, that was charming. But as the industry got more sophisticated and became more oriented toward varietal wines instead of these blended reds and blended whites and so forth, then I think Leo needed to have more personality involved, more professionalism involved. And when Miro came on board, things changed pretty quickly. It was kind of an important period. There was a period of time there from approximately 88 through about 93 when we began to see a lot of areas in Sonoma County getting more sophisticated by improving winemaking technology for vineyards that had been in the ground forever. I mean, these were 100-year-old vines. Viticulture was getting better. Winemaking had to be improved, and so you had Daryl Groom coming in at Geyser Peak, and you had Miro coming in at Trenadue, and people really weren't. It took a few years before people got an understanding of what was happening in Sonoma County. This was a really dramatic area, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Ridge moved in with the Ridge Geyserville from Trenadue, started making headways with the Zin.
Right.
And,
so we had tremendous advantages happening throughout this area. In fact, when Mike Gergich, who just passed away at age 100 a few months ago, when he was here in Sonoma County, he was a consultant in Alexander Valley. There were several vineyards that he was consulting with, and he was consulting for Sausal, S-A-U-S-A-L, which was one of the brands at that time. It was owned by the Demosthenes family.
Yep.
And a lot of people didn't understand how good those wines were. And the reason was that Mike Gergich was their consultant.
Right. So it's Chelichev for Jordan.
And Jordan had, Andre. So you had, and Zelma Long was taking over at wine. She came in actually a few years earlier. She came in about 1980 at Simi. So there were a lot of things happening up here that nobody knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting Miro into Trinity was really a tremendous advantage for the entire county.
Now, on to Miro Wines, Miro Cellars.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us the history of that and how long ago did you vintage?
The first vintage was 2001, and I made a little bit of Petit Sirah from Dry Creek from the property that Victor Trinity lives on. It was an old vine still there. And it was successful. Parker gave it some high scores, on and on.
Yeah.
I made a promise to myself not to go over 500 cases, which I fail at that, but I'm about 2,500 cases right now. So it's been a very interesting ride, fun and exciting and challenging. And you can imagine, I started with a very little resources. I haven't borrowed any money yet. There were people throwing money at me, trying to invest, and my wife talked me out of it, actually, and I guess she knows me better than I know myself. She said, "You're not disciplined enough to deal with other people's money." And I said, "You know what?
I can relate to that."
And she said, "And more importantly, it's not going to be fun for you anymore."
Yeah, right.
And you're going to be stressed out and this and that. And I said, "You know what, Ken? I'm going to listen to you." And I did, so I'm still having fun. Don't owe anybody anything, so.
You mentioned 2001 Petit Sirah.
Yes.
You know, I'm a Petit Sirah fan, and we don't talk about it much, and it doesn't seem that that many people are making it in Sonoma County.
Well, actually, believe it or not, there's more producers of Petit Sirah today than ever before.
Yeah. Really?
They're small producers, and nobody makes a lot of it, but it's a fabulous variety, and there's an actual group called PSI Love You, which is an organization that's founded by a wonderful lady by the name of Joe Diaz.
I was one of the first founders.
We've had her on this show before talking about PSI Love You, and I used to work for her husband at the old station.
Really? Nice.
He was my boss at the old station.
You guys seen a lot of excellent bands back in the days.
Yes, indeed. You're involved with a website, BulgarianWine.com, bringing Bulgarian wines to expats and curious Americans, right?
I'm surprised you actually found that.
It's still happening.
Oh, yeah. We bought the site right at the beginning of COVID, and I got it from a friend of mine whom I consult to for several years making wines in Bulgaria and bringing them over here, and he also had that site thing called BulgarianWine.com. He was a very visionary when this thing with the .com domain name started.
Yeah.
Nobody knew about it. So he signed up or got the domain names of a lot of wineries. And I believe he did own wine.com for a little bit. And he managed to sell it early, the little he knew that it was going to be a big deal. But anyway, so yes, wine.com. And we looked at each other. It's like, what the hell are we doing? This those days and times, and we didn't know what's going to happen. But luckily, Bulgarians in the United States and other people actually were interested in Bulgarian wines and any other wines at that point. So they were buying a lot of it, and we did pretty good. So it wasn't that bad, actually. It wasn't bad at all. So my wife is running that side of the business.
Cool. And Dan, talk about wines from Bulgaria.
Most people don't realize that the Eastern Bloc, Eastern Europe, has enormous grapevines plantings everywhere. I mean, Romania, Bulgaria, Moldova, Kazakhstan. I mean, it's just astounding how much grapevine acreage has been planted throughout that entire region, and a lot of it in Bulgaria, especially. What is it? Last I looked, it was like 88,000 acres or something
like
that. Yeah,
but I mean, the last statistics that I know that was really shocking is back from 1987 when Bulgaria was still communist. They had more plantings of Cabernet Merlot than California, and it's the size of Tennessee.
Right, so. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and when you see the documentaries that have been made on Eastern European wines, in 1990, I went to Slovenia. Well, it was called Yugoslavia at that time. There was a war going on, and I dodged bullets and got into Ljubljana and judged the wine competition there. It was an international competition sponsored by the French wine organization, and I judged the wines in the middle of the war. Fortunately, I wasn't hit by any flying objects. During that time, it was an 8-day wine competition. They took us up to Maribor, which most people don't even know exists. You're sure familiar with Maribor, yep. Miro. And this is a wine region in what is now known as Slovenia. And it's amazing to see what's out there. It's fabulous. They're doing phenomenal things with red wines.
Croatia.
We actually don't see an awful lot of white wine from there because technology, well, there was an awful lot of communist influence there, and there was a lot of bribery going on.
And mass production and all that. Yeah.
And the bribery, actually, if you didn't bribe the right people, your stainless steel tanks would somehow disappear. They'd just, poof, it would be gone. So you have to bribe the right people.
Wow.
It was a very strange. Anyway, but the wines were really good. And so the Bulgarian wines were certainly part of that. We haven't seen. Are there any being imported now?
Yes, there's some that are importing it, mostly based in Chicago. After Bulgaria joined the European Union, a tremendous amount of funds was channeled into Bulgaria to develop viticulture and modernize the vineyards. And a whole bunch of new wineries were built, and they're beautiful architecture-wise. Also, they supported the tourist industry as well with those funds. So it was quite actually lucrative to open a new winery there.
Check out BulgarianWine.com, folks. Mm-hmm. Miro Cellars, what are you making these days?
Quantity-wise, I'm still small, but I make a lot of little 200-300 cases lots, and what we're drinking right now is actually the first Chardonnay I ever made on the Miro label. And I'm telling people I joined the dark side and I made Chardonnay. My first white wine ever for Miro was Ribolla Gialla, and it was a fantastic little wine, but people don't know about Ribolla Gialla, so every time it hit the shelves, nobody bought it. And even
I bought it.
I mean, at Bottle Barn, it didn't move a whole lot. And all other Miro wines are selling like crazy, but that one it did not.
I bought six bottles.
Yeah.
And
but everybody I tasted it, they loved it, yeah.
Well,
so I gave up on it, and I said, all right, I got to send my kids to school, to college, so Chardonnay it is. So this one is from vineyards of... Hook and Ladder, actually, the Deloach family that kept some of the
Hook
properties.
And Ladder,
yeah,
sure.
So it's an old vineyard, and they use most of it for themselves, and Jason Deloach is once in a while let me have a little bit. And so this was a big hit. It was the best of class last year Harvest Fair at Sonoma County Harvest Fair.
Yeah, I saw that.
I just got the results from LA International. It was best of class, best Chardonnay out of LA.
Is this 2022?
It's 2022, correct.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I'm out of it, but the next vintage is exactly the same thing from the same vineyard, 10 barrels. I repeated it. I mean, I didn't want to mess it up with because this was a partial malolactic, so I still have the acidity, not too much oak. People love this stuff.
I love it. This is a lovely wine. Dan, tell me why I love it so much.
Very tropical fruit with richness, kind of an oiliness, the way Chardonnay typically is. But in this case, the good underlying acidity, the aftertaste is just right for serving with some rich seafoods, perhaps lobster with butter and so forth. Very few people make Chardonnay in this style that have the proper acidity. This one does. there's a lot of wines in this style, but they typically don't have the crispness that is required
and
to go with
food.
It's
bone dry, and it, yeah. but it tastes sweet somehow.
Yeah, a little yeah. bit. But yeah, but it's, the finish no is sugar in it. The finish is just wonderful, yeah. and it makes me very hungry. Well, and I want some lobster.
As it should.
Yes. Man, that's good. Miro Cholikov, it's Miro Sellers, and he's still working at Trentadue, one of my favorites. And you're making wines for Trentadue, and there's other winemakers there, I'm sure.
No.
No, you're
me
it.
And my assistant, yes.
No kidding.
It's still me. I'm still the ultimately... the chain of blame starts with me.
Bizarre.
I brought the one that actually won.
Okay, this is the winner. Well, you can explain. Yeah. This is the wine. That
so
won
speaking
everything.
Of Trinidad, I've been very close with a lot of wine competitions. Actually, Al Marlow won the Sunset last year, and even Daryl mentioned that I've been knocking on the door for a while and. Somebody recorded me when I said it during the tasting. I said, finally. Because a couple of years ago, I think it was the Cuvée Sacher that was a runner-up to Sonoma Cutrea Pinot or something like that. Anyway, so the good news is, well, obviously, the trend to the one, the best of the best of the best. But it's also a blend, and that's unusual. Usually wines, and Dan can confirm, Chardonnays or Pinots or Cabernets always win. This is probably the first time when a blend, and it's unusual at that point, it's a Sangiovese blended with Merlot and Montepulciano. And it's all grown on the estate. And we had to vote three times, I believe, three, four wines that are really close, including a heavy hitter Napa Cabernet and a Pinot from Russian River. And this one actually won.
So this is a Trinity wine, but it's called La Storia.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the La Storia, isn't that a line that's a little bit higher in quality?
You were talking about the history. So when I started at Trinity back in 1999, the vintage was really good. And then our marketing people at the time said, well, let's come up with guns blazing with Reserve Trinity and all that. And Trentadue didn't quite have a standing for premium wine, so we came up with the idea to come up with a proprietary new name to signify our best effort. So La Storia came up. It wasn't trademarked, and it means the story, the history. And Leo was actually complaining in the beginning. He said, well, how do people know it's Trentadue? It only mentioned on the back label back then that it's produced by Trentadue Winery. Then we added it in the front, La Storia by Trentadue. And so now we have five different La Storias, six even. And this is actually the first ever blend that I made under the La Storia name. And it was a kind of a Super Tuscan style, which we still refer to this one as a Super Tuscan.
I love the name La Storia. And this is an interesting blend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very unusual. You don't see these varieties very often, even by themselves.
Yeah.
And this blend is it's on the back label, so it tells you it's... 47% Sangiovese, 31% Merlot, and 22% Montepulciano. The two Italian grapes, Sangiovese and Montepulciano, tend to be very high in acidity, and they could make a wine that would be a little austere. So in place of some other Italian variety, Miro used a little Merlot to soften mm-hmm. it. And this exactly. is a fabulous wine. Mm-hmm. You don't taste wines like this from California almost ever. Because it normally takes you have to have a winemaker who really appreciates the fact that the style is more important than what the consumer initially thinks, and this is a tricky wine to sell because unless you've got pasta in front of you with mm-hmm. red sauce, because it really doesn't have affinity for like a steak. It's not going to work with a steak as well as it would with a pasta with red sauce, because the tomatoes have acidity and the wine has acidity and they go together.
Yeah, pasta with tomato sauce.
Yeah,
well,
I took one little sip and that's what I'm thinking.
Yep. I mean, this wine was actually born out of necessity because if you remember back then, Sangiovese was a hard variety to sell. It used to be a company, a non-profit called Consorzio Calitalia. And they tried to promote the Italian, California-made Italian varieties, and it didn't work very well. And they fell apart and disappeared. But I was still left with the Sangiovese vines, and I never made Sangiovese before I got to Trinidad. And it's a very tricky variety. We drop a lot of fruit. We do a lot of also make rosé. So bleeding the Sangiovese made, you know, left a lot more heft in the variety itself. And it's very fruity, very perfumey. And then 12 years ago, we planted a certified Brunello clone Sangiovese and a certified clone of Montepulciano. And Montepulciano by itself is a hit in the tasting room. I do about 350 cases currently of varietal Montepulciano, and people love it. Also, varietal Sangiovese, which ironically, people love more and more and more. And so I don't even have enough to make this blend in the quantities that we used to, which is kind of strange. But anyway, this was always a hit in our tasting room, and it's selling out as well. But it's kind of a hand sell. You're right.
Yeah, it is a hand sell. You have to really talk to people about it and explain what it is. And if you tell them, and I'm sure this is the word is out now, if you tell them that this stuff goes with food better than it is by itself, then they start to get it, and then they buy the wine, and they take it home, and they start to put it with some food, and it really does work. And it's just a matter of making sure that you don't serve this as a walk-around wine or a aperitif.
It's not a cocktail wine.
It's not a cocktail wine. This is serious stuff.
I mean, being brought in Europe, my first idea for wine is that wine is food, and wine goes well with food. So that's how I'm trained. That's how I was brought up. This is probably the most Euro style that I can do out of California, and with that consideration solely, that it's the most food wine that I make there.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's got some really good flavors. The one thing that you can rely on with all Miro wines is that they're going to be balanced with good acidity, because this is the style of wine that he was brought up with. And it works best in California, I believe. There's a lot of wine that sells based on the fact that it tastes great. But sometimes tasting great is not so good for... If you're in a tasting room and you just taste it and it tastes great, that's fine. But it may not necessarily go with food.
Right.
Miro's wines go with food.
Right on. Could be one of the best-kept secrets in wine country. Miro's cellars. What else are you making, Miro?
For Trinidad, I make a lot of different SKUs. We make 26 different SKUs at the winery, including four different ports, including a white port that I've been making out of Viognier and Muscat Canelli. But the most recent one is a Viognier port. Also, let's see, for Miro, what else? Oh, yeah, the Cuvée Sacha, the one that I brought in here. It's always been a lot of places' favorite wine. This is the first one I received a 100-point score from LA International last year. It was only three wines were rated at 90 at 100 points. And it also won previously in some of the competitions here in Sonoma County, some of the Deborah Rents.
I bought some of this from the 2019 vintage.
Explain again what it is.
Oh, this is 100% Grenache.
Oh, okay. It's blended with a little bit of Syrah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
But it's varietal Grenache. Yeah. It's a legally Grenache, and it's got a little bit of Syrah in it.
What's really magical about this wine is that it comes from a vineyard that Miro... discovered, and it comes from Mendocino County,
right?
And this wine typically doesn't have an awful lot of color. Typically, now you can make it darker if you want to.
You can, yes, if you play some tricks with it. But in general, it doesn't. It comes from Peter Chevalier, who used to be a grower, and now his son has a vineyard management company in Mendocino. You have. So it's literally grown on his backyard. There's a small gated community on the north side of Lake Mendocino, the steepest part of it. And he grows a little bit of Barbera and Grenache literally on the back of his house. So he doesn't use any chemicals. He's not certified organic because it's too much paperwork. But his dogs are in there, his grandchildren. So it's clean. He doesn't even mow anything there. I had it for like 7 to 8 years now, and it's a beautiful...
It's satiny.
Yes.
That's silky. Exactly what it is, precisely.
Yeah, and it's wonderful.
Also, aromatically, it's got some pomegranates and a little bit of cranberry.
I'm just getting that.
Just delicious stuff. And this is a wine... Now, here's the all-purpose wine. If you want to drink this by itself, just sit down and drink it. It's delicious. But it also is a typical Miro wine because it does have the structure. So therefore, if you want to put it with food,
you can.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's all purpose, and it's light. It doesn't have a lot of tannin. It's got some plenty of fruit, loads of fruit. Just think this is fabulous wine.
I do too.
I bought the 19. I still have a couple of bottles of the 19 in my cellar, and this is the 21.
Mm-hmm.
This is 21 Cuvée Sacha, and then it has the Chevalier Vineyard Mendocino County designation on it. It's 78% Grenache. Delicious wine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So after many years and still working with Trinidad,
mm-hmm.
Miro, you started Miro Cellars, and it says here it gives you the complete freedom to make precisely the wines that you love best.
Right.
And I love that.
That's the thing that keeps me occupied because, you know, working in the industry in general, for anybody, you have to conform to, even if you have the freedom, as it says, but I'm still working for other people,
I'm
responsible for their own success and on. But with Miro, I play. My wife says, well, it's much better than you buying sports cars or getting mistresses or something like that.
You married a very smart woman, I
She
might
is
add.
A smart woman. And, she was born in Louisiana, but her father was an artist, a true bohemian.
Cool.
And he passed here in California, and yes, she's an artist herself, and we kind of share spirit as far as that. She's a graphic artist, and she calls me an artist. I said, winemakers are not artists. We're just a high craftsman and a little bit crazy, and we like to drink. And,
and notice the sign to your left. You don't have to be crazy to hang out with us. We'll train you. I love that one.
That's good.
He is Miro Cholakov. It's Miro Cellars. We're going to talk more about that. And, wow, the satiny. This is wonderful.
This is delicious stuff.
God.
It's a pretty good beverage.
But you're right. You wouldn't need food.
Not really.
But,
I mean, but a little bit of cheese.
But if you do, you're going to nail it. Pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah. Any kind of cheese, for that matter. Hard cheese, soft cheese, anything.
I love the nose.
Yeah, the nose is gorgeous. I think that pomegranate character in the nose just knocked me out.
Yeah, I agree. And that kind of stood out to me, not only in the nose, but on the palate. California wine country. Dan Berger, of course, and Miro Cholakov is here from Miro Cellars. I'm looking here, and you mentioned this, that Chardonnay, the 2022 Chardonnay that we tasted, which you're going to make again because you're out of it now.
I'm out of this vintage, yes. The next vintage is scheduled to be bottled this month.
Oh, okay.
If I get everything lined up.
Sonoma County Harvest Fair, you won Best of Class and a gold medal for this 2022 Reserve Chardonnay, and well-deserved. You got 91 points from the wine enthusiast for the 2021 Cuvée Sacha.
Mm-hmm.
And again, explain Cuvée Sacha.
It's just a fun blend. It used to be a full-blown GSM, which is Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre, and used to be from High Valley in Lake County from Montelago Vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
For several years, and there it was a funny, interesting. It was a beautiful vineyard up there, managed by Clay Shannon, and they had a resident bear, and that resident bear loved the Mourvèdre. The Mourvèdre was in the outside of the blocks, and he ate about half of it. And I was talking to the owner and said, listen, I mean, this bear is really dinging you into your profit margins here, and it's taking a lot of the Mourvèdre that I need. He goes, yeah, but she's so cute. So they would just let the bear eat as much Mourvèdre as they want. She did not touch any other grapes. There was Cabernet Franc nearby. There was Zinfandel.
Really?
No. They just loved the Mourvèdre.
Wow.
And you can, I mean, every time I go there, I was scared because I didn't want to, you know, bump heads with the bear and this full belly of grapes. And
was it a fully grown bear?
It was fully grown.
Oh,
yeah.
Good
it
Lord.
Was fully
no.
grown. They had 500 acres there, so I guess financially that was nothing for them. I mean, the bear didn't eat that much as far as to destroy their financial wealth. For some circumstances, I had to part with that vineyard, and that's when I found the Chevalier, and that's the story.
Grenache is really an interesting grape variety in terms of what winemakers in California talk about 30 years ago, literally 30 years ago, it was 1994, 95, I was at a wine festival where they were serving a lot of the Rhone blends at that time that begins the whole process of, you know, Rhone Ranger and all that. And I started interviewing these people as I walked up and down the aisles of this festival and said to them, are you using any Grenache in your Rhone blend? And the answer I got from almost everyone was, I would if I could get any. But there wasn't any available.
Really?
And now...
Blame it on the bear.
There's more. Yeah. It's still not very much out there.
No, it's hard stuff. It's hard to grow. You got to get the right location. And the best thing you can do...
Well, why is it hard to grow?
Well, first of all, you got to get the right soils and the right climate.
And the clones.
And then the clones. The more important issue, though, is that it's a very aggressive grower. We're talking off air about how aggressive this variety is. It wants to put out 7 or 9 tons an acre. And if you do that, you're going to make white wine. You're not going to make any red. But if you get too little fruit, then it rebels and becomes too dark. So you have to really be careful. And it's just very interesting. Yeah.
Apparently, we've got hail outside the caboose here.
You can see
it. I forgot to mention the
I like hail.
I forgot to bring the Caesar salad so I could say Hail Caesar.
But yeah. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you forgot the salad.
I forgot to mention that Sasha is the name of my daughter, who now is 21.
Gotcha.
And my first Sasha was when she was just born. And also, beautiful. The wines that are available actually Barry at the bottle bar might still have some of the Chardonnay. I know for sure he does have the Sasha.
Well, that was my next question. Yeah. Where can people buy
Miro? Yeah, they can buy directly from MiroCellars.com. We can ship anywhere in California, no problem. And Barry at Bottle Barn and a few other places will have it, but he probably has the best price, as usual. He always does. So he might still going to have some of the Chardonnay because he really embraced it when he got Best of Class last year. He sold a lot of it. And so Cuvée Sasha is there along with pretty much all of my wines, the Zinfandels and the Cabernets and all that stuff. Petit Sirah. No, he's out of Petit Sirah, so am I.
Okay, so the weather is still fluctuating. I just talked about lightning in Napa knocking out the power. After lightning hit a transformer, and now we've got major hail.
It's sunny and
here.
It's
sunny and hail. Is it sunny and Cher? I forget.
Thank you so much. It's a punk.
I love hail. I think it's cool. I don't like being out in it, but I like watching it from inside.
I don't want my car underneath that stuff. But
as long as it doesn't shatter the windshield. So,
So where else besides Bottle Barn can people buy Miro Cellars?
Since I make so little, it's kind of hard to find. Most of the wine is sold in restaurants and a very few handful of wine shops. Here and there.
They can go online, right?
I'm selling a lot of it online, yes.
MiroCellars.com, folks. You should check this out. Yeah. These are great wines.
One thing I'd like to add, though, is the La Storia wines are also exceptionally good. They're also made by Miro for Trentadue. Mm-hmm. But what I like about the project, and whoever came up with this idea is a real talent, they decided to make the labels silkscreened. So all the bottles are silkscreened, and they're really attractive.
They're really
a beautiful addition to the dining table. And, of course, the wines are made to go with food. So
it's
this
an actual gold.
It's real gold.
And then Trentadue is a great place to go picnic in because we never run out of parking space. We've got giant redwood trees, plenty of sitting down places, and secluded. Some of them are very private. We also marry a lot of people, unfortunately. I mean, a lot of poor souls, I usually say, but...
Their choice, I guess.
Their choice. God bless them.
I've done that myself. Married a lot of people.
Have you?
Yeah. I have 12 wives.
Reverend. Oh.
Reverend. Wake up, Dan.
I'm sorry.
Well, if you need another one, you're welcome to get married in Trentadue.
Yeah, but no, that's a great place to get married.
It is.
I love Trentadue.
We're one of the main, how to say, hubs for weddings in the wine country.
And it's really not very far away. I mean, ultimately, it's, what is it, half an hour from Santa Rosa at the most?
At the most.
At the very most. And it's right off the freeway. It's literally, you take the first exit off the freeway at Geyserville, and you're right there. Right. You're just there.
You either go to Coppola or you go to Trinidad.
Well, there you go. Exactly.
Right, yeah.
And Miro, talk more about Trinidad, because you've been there a long time. And as I say, it's one of my favorites. And give the history, a little history.
It's been a great ride for me there. I mean, obviously, I've been there for 24 years. They started there a long time ago, and they were very quiet, very kind of a shy in their presence. Although Leo, like, here's an example. When they built 101, it had to go through their property. And so they asked Leo if he wants to name the exit, Trentadue exit. And Leo said, I don't want to piss off people around me and then, you know, make them jealous or whatnot. So let's just call it something else. So they called it Independence exit. And wow. Can you imagine it?
I can't.
So he also donated or sold a little bit of land for the very first co-op, which was called Chateau Souverain.
Right.
I believe was started by Mr. Hunes back then. And then later on became Chateau Souverain, later became Coppola, and now it's still Coppola, but it's owned by Delicato. So on and on, their presence has always been there. They're one of the first wineries to be started after Prohibition. I mean, at that time in the 50s and the 60s, it was only Geyser Peak, Simi, Italian-Swiss colony in the Geyserville, up north, and that's about it. There was nobody else as far as wineries go. And they grew organically, they're mostly growers, and then the connection with Rich. Paul Draper actually pushed Leo to go into production in 1969, was their first vintage.
Wow.
And it was Petit Syrah, and there's another tasty piece of news that I learned I had to decipher somehow through, because there was not a whole lot of information. They actually won. They sent one of their Petit Syrahs, it was actually the first vintage, 1969. They sent it to Europe, somewhere in England. And he won a gold medal and returned back. And they were very proud of themselves, but they didn't share with anybody. They didn't know who to share with. If they would have, that was way before the 1970-whatever tasting at the famous tasting that made California put it on the map. The Trentadues did win some significant medal, but just nobody knew it. And they continued doing very much the same thing. They win some medals, and then they just tapped themselves on the shoulder and put the medals in the drawer somewhere, and that's it.
Again, Miro's website, mirosellers.com. Miro, thanks. Great to see you as always.
Good to see you again.
Lovely stuff.